Upreneur FM is part of the Rainmaker Digital Marketing Podcast Network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Upreneur FM, the official podcast of the Upreneur Mastermind Community. A place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 154 of Upreneur FM. Thank you so much for being with me today. I very much appreciate it. Great show. Fantastic show, in fact, actually lined up for you today. My very good buddy Jay Beer is back on the show one more time. He is a returning guest for one reason and one reason only, and that's because he's bloody smart. When it comes down to anything social or marketing related, online, customer service, you name it, Jay is just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to all this sort of stuff. And that's one of the reasons why I just keep getting him back for you guys, plain and simple. Before we get into that chat with Jay, however, I want to give you a quick reminder that our brand new free training is now available over at chrisducker.com/launchpad. Okay, that's chrisducker.com/launchpad. Everything you need to know to build the business of you. There's videos, there's audio downloads, there's PDF downloads. You can print out ebooks, make notes, and do lots of other stuff as well. It's a great little mini course that I put together called the Upreneur Launchpad that will give you a real clear picture as to what you need to do, the moves you need to make, where you need to be spending your time to build a fantastic, profitable, long-term business based around you, your brand, your mission, and what you're all about and who you want to serve. So if that sounds like something you want to get your teeth into, again, it's 100% free. I want you to head over to chrisducker.com/launchpad. All one word, launchpad. Launchpad, launchpad, launchpad. Okay, on to my chat with Jay. Like I said in my quick intro here, super smart guy, loving the bits, love having him come back onto the show to drop as many value bombs on you guys from as many great heights as possible. Today we talk about something that actually a lot of people talk about that they very rarely actually get stuck into this subject, and that is haters. What does it take to not get upset when people hate on us? Particularly in online business, we have to deal with things like negative reviews or blog comments or horrible tweets or whatever. But what can we do when people are hating on us to actually turn things around into a positive? The title of Jay's new book is Hug Your Haters, and that's exactly what he's going to be teaching us how to do on this conversation. So I'm not going to babble on for any longer. Please enjoy the one and only, the incomparable Mr. Jay Beer. So Jay, welcome back to Upreneur FM, my man.
I am delighted to be back on the show, Chris. Thank you for having me. Welcome to everybody out there.
Yeah, Matt, look, I don't know whether you know this or not. It's your fourth time on the show. Fourth time.
You need to get more guests on this show. It can't just be me. Thank you for having me back.
No, you know what it is? I'm genuinely all about making sure that my audience just gets the goods they need when they need them from the people that I know are going to deliver them. That's really what it comes down to.
Well, you know, do you watch the Saturday Night Live, right? You've got people like Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin has hosted Saturday Night Live like 16 times. I'm like the Alec Baldwin of your podcast.
Yes, you are. You are. Mr. Alec Baldwin, everybody in the house. All right, Jay Beer, Hug Your Haters, brand new book, just hit the shelves, the streets a few days ago. Already doing very, very well, obviously. Your last book, Utility, was a massive success. And now here you are with another brand new message, a brand new focus, a brand new story to tell. And man, is it a story that we all need to listen to or what? I mean, this is serious stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Chris. So I wrote Utility. I wrote it like 3 years ago. It came out 2 years ago, whatever. And somebody asked me the other day on our show, like, hey, how come you wrote this book, Hug Your Haters? And the subtitle is, how to embrace complaints and keep your customers. And they said, hey, you're a marketing guy. And I said, yeah. Well, how come you wrote a book about customer service and customer experience? And I said, well, because in my marketing business as a consultant, we are constantly asked by companies, hey, how should we be handling customer service on Twitter, Facebook, Yelp, TripAdvisor, and all these digital channels? And nobody actually knows how to do it. They're kind of feeling their way, you know, like blind mice in the dark. And so I said, you know, we're having this massive shift, the same kind of shift that made us do content differently. And I chronicled that in my book, Utility. We're now having a massive shift in customer service and what customers expect from businesses when they need help. So for a long time, Chris, for like decades, right, you could literally live having a great call center and being pretty nimble at email. And those days are over.
Yes.
Because an increasing number of your customers don't want to talk on the phone. They don't want to use email. They want to interact with Twitter, Facebook, WeChat, WhatsApp, Yelp, discussion boards and forums. And most businesses, large and small, are simply unprepared to meet that challenge. And that's why I did tons of research and wrote Hug Your Haters.
So where did the title come from? I mean, it's such a catchy title. And I know you did a keynote. I'm not quite sure. Was it Social Media Marketing World was the first time you ever did? Okay.
That's right.
I remember it was last year. I remember I was supposed to be there, but I had to cancel. And that was one of the big things that everybody was freaking out about. Was it the closing keynote?
It was one of the closing keynotes, yes.
Yeah, okay. So everyone was freaking out about it on Twitter, and they were saying it was the best keynote they've seen in years and all this sort of stuff. And I remember turning to Urs and saying to her, that's his next freaking book, I guarantee you. Because I could just tell by the title that you were setting things up. Did you? Now, I'm assuming heavily that before you got on stage and did that keynote for the first time, you knew this was your next book, right?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'd already started researching the book. I just didn't have the book written yet.
Right,
so it's a little weird to have the data. So I had the data because I conducted this massive research project on the science of complaint. Who complains, why, how, the nature of hate. And so I had the data back. And then I did the keynote, and then I wrote the book.
Mm. What kind of, I mean, what was the initial, obviously on social, it blew up, but what was the initial feedback that you got from your peers at the event after that keynote?
Well, it was great. I mean, people love the keynote, which is always gratifying, especially when you do it for the first time in front of a huge audience. That's I don't recommend that.
Go with a smaller group first, right?
I don't recommend doing the very first time you've given a talk to 3,500 people and everybody there is on Twitter. I don't recommend it. It's very nerve-wracking, but it worked out fine. More than anything else, more than the reaction to the talk, which was strong, what was great is that people were like, wow, I totally understand this concept and I really need to hear more about it, right? And that really ratifies like, oh, there is a book in this. Because the challenge with especially online customer service is that we pick and choose in a way that we would never do offline. Right. So if somebody calls you, you answer the phone. If somebody emails you, typically you email them back, especially in a business context. But in social media, in digital, that's not always the case. You answer every few tweets or you answer every few Facebook posts or most businesses do not answer any reviews and they almost answer never when they're mentioned in discussion boards and forums. And that is a huge missed opportunity that we proved in the research that we did for the book. And so the Hug Your Haters recipe, the advice in the book, is to answer every complaint in every channel every time. And what I tell people in the book is that your haters are not your problem. Ignoring them is. The haters, the people who hate you, the people who complain about you, are your most important customers and your most important fans. Not your least important, your most important. And I did 50 to 70 interviews for the book as well with people like Gary Vaynerchuk and tons of corporate leaders. And many of them say the same thing, that haters are the most important person because they tell you something you don't already know.
Right, exactly. So you mentioned there a science. There's a science to this. And you mentioned, you told me before we started recording, you dropped 50K of your own hard earned, and you do work very hard for your money, Mr. Bear.
Thank you, brother.
50K of your own very hard earned cash into this research project to really look in the science and the numbers and break things down. Give us some of the biggest takeaways from that
well, see,
kind
here's
of project.
There are a lot of customer service books on the shelves.
Yeah.
And many of them are very good. And I cite tons of them in Hug Your Haters.
Sure.
But the reality is that most customer service books are written by people who are customer service professionals, and it's based on their instinct and their intuition and their experience. This book is not. This book is based on math and science and research. And what we found in the research was remarkable. We found that every time you answer a customer complaint, it increases customer advocacy. Mm-hmm. And every time you fail to answer a customer complaint, it decreases customer advocacy.
Okay.
So when you choose to not answer a complaint, you're taking a bad situation and making it worse. And when you do answer a customer complaint, you're taking a bad situation and make it better. But here's the thing, Chris, and here's the big trend, and this is why this is really a trend book wrapped in a customer service blanket, is that as more and more and more and more and more and more and more customers use the internet, mostly social media, to complain, businesses are not taking advantage of this opportunity to answer those complaints. There's an 800% increase in complaints about business and social media in the United Kingdom in the last 12 months. 800%.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to wait on hold if they don't have to.
Right.
They could just tweet or Facebook or what have you. But most businesses, in fact, the overwhelming majority of businesses, are not very good at online customer service, where customer service is, in fact, a spectator sport.
Right. And, you know, I mean, from the UK perspective, obviously, I'm from the UK originally, and I go back annually, sometimes twice a year, but always once a year I'm back home. And obviously, I still call it home, even though I haven't lived there 15 years. So I'm still a very proud Brit, you know, in my heart of hearts. And I've seen the consumers in the UK using the internet more and more and more. And I'm not just talking about buying stuff online. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, actually, using it more for research, using it more on review sites, using it more to converse with brands, using it more to find what they're looking for in regards to, you know, special offers and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
The days have gone where, like my brother, for example, who lives back in the UK, he hasn't gone to a grocery store for 2 years. He's bought all his groceries online for the last 2 years. Like, why am I going to bother with it? You know what I mean? Yeah. So the UK is definitely behind the US. There's no doubt about that when it comes to all this online savviness stuff. But I think consumers over there particularly are really starting to come into the fold in regards to just using the web more and more and more.
Well, and I'm sure many of the people listening to this show have either experienced this personally or know somebody who has. What happens all the time now, Chris, is that somebody will call a business or they will email a business and they're unhappy with the outcome, what they're told, or it takes too long to get back. So maybe you send a business an email, and you wait a day and a half, and you don't hear anything back. You're like, what is the deal? These guys aren't going to answer me. So now you're like, I'm going to raise the stakes. I'm going to take it public. So now you go to Twitter, you go to Facebook, you go to WhatsApp, you go to WeChat, you take something that was previously private and you make it public only because those businesses were too slow. Or the other thing you see happening all the time is that somebody generally gets a better outcome when they complain on Twitter. Like, that's a legendary story because it's, you know, it happens all the time.
Right.
They told me on the phone, blah, blah, blah. And then I tweeted them and a different thing happened. And every time that occurs, the world is being trained to avoid traditional contact mechanisms and embrace new contact mechanisms. And that has huge implications for business.
So where do people – I mean, obviously, you've written the book on it. I've got to ask these questions. Where do people go then to complain on social out of all the platforms? Where are they bitching and moaning the most?
I'm really glad you asked that because the data that we have in the book is really it blew me away. I had no idea. So
yeah, because this is your world, right? I mean, you are the social pro.
It really surprised me. So if I asked you, where do people what do people use to complain in social media? What would you tell me?
I would say either Facebook or Twitter, one of the two.
I mean, historically, I think most brands have staffed Twitter. Right, that Twitter is more of a contact mechanism.
Yes.
You know, there's lots and lots of companies that have, you know, at company name helps or at company name cares or whatever. They build separate Twitter profiles. But in the research, we found that 71% of all consumer complaints within social are on Facebook. That Facebook is overwhelmingly larger than Twitter in terms of the negativity about brands.
Right.
But we don't think of it that way. It just doesn't have that reputation. But by the numbers, Facebook is huge. And there's a lot of emerging channels too. You're starting to see more complaints on Instagram. You're starting to see more complaints on Snapchat. And WhatsApp and WeChat are going to be huge.
So that surprises me on Facebook. I mean, I had a feeling that it would be in there, but not that level. That's way higher than I anticipated. It's
4-1, 5-1, Facebook versus Twitter.
Now, let me put you into this situation. And so a couple of years ago, there was a client of ours that was visiting the Philippines, and they had come in from the United States, and they were staying in Manila. And initially, they were not going to come down to Cebu, which is where we're based, to visit us. So I said, well, okay, not a big deal. I will come up to Manila and visit you. So I booked my flights with Philippine Airlines. This is dead honest, true story. Booked my flights with Philippine Airlines, business class, and only an hour, but I just don't do lining up anymore. And so I decided to go business class, and I go into the business class lounge. I ask for the Wi-Fi password. Sorry, sir, the internet's down. Okay, all right, I can deal with that. I've got data on my phone, no big deal. So then I walk around the corner to sit into the business class lounge. There's a drip coming out of one of the, you know, some area in the roof, right? So, you know, okay, now there's a drip in the thing. Walk up to the food area, there's no food. So now I'm just plain pissed off. Like, seriously, what am I paying for? I've got no internet connection. I've got water landing on my laptop almost, and there's nothing to eat, right? Now I'm just plain angry. So I get on the Facebook, and I say on their Facebook page, Philippine Airlines, I'm in your lounge at Cebu. There's no Wi-Fi. There's dripping water on my head, and there's nothing to eat. Why am I paying the additional cost if I'm not being treated like a business class passenger and I'm being treated like an economy passenger? Like, you know, seriously, why pay the additional money? It's the same freaking airplane I'm getting on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they didn't reply to me. They blanked me completely. Now, this is not where the story disappeared, stops rather. I go to Manila. I come back to Cebu. And then I decided to go up to Manila one more time a week later with my wife for a shopping trip because she likes that sort of thing and I like to keep my wife happy. And so again, we travel business. Again, I go into the lounge. No drip this time, but the internet was still down. And we ended up taking off an hour late because there was something wrong with the airplane. Again, I hit the Facebook page. And this time, not only do I not get a reply, but they delete my message from their page. They completely deleted it from the page. So my question to you, Mr. Hagiojeda expert.
That's not good.
What should a Philippine Airlines done to keep me happy? By the way, I want to state very clearly, I have never flown with Philippine Airlines since.
Sure.
I now fly with Cebu Pacific, which is another carrier here locally.
Well, if you look at the science of complaint, right, and the whole research behind the book, as I mentioned, every time somebody complains and doesn't get an answer, their customer advocacy goes down. That happened to you.
Yes.
Consequently, you're not flying the airline. If they would have answered you, the customer advocacy would have at least stayed neutral and probably gone up just because you got an answer, right?
Right,
it's not
right.
like you're expecting them to move mountains.
Yes.
But to have a service shortfall and then not have it addressed, what does it feel like? It feels like they don't care about you.
Correct.
You probably know Dave Kirpin. Dave Kirpin's the author of likable social media and a consultant and a speaker. He has a great quote in the Hug Your Haters book that says, a lack of response is a response. Hmm. It's a response that says, we don't care about you.
Yes, absolutely.
And he's exactly right. So what they should have done is they should have answered you both times and they should have apologized and said, we'd love to make this right. And then the second time you complain, if they would have realized you've complained again, they probably should have said, hey, we'd like to talk to you. You're a valuable customer. We'd like to talk to you about this in a little bit more detail. Can we have a telephone conversation or an email conversation or a DM conversation to kind of get into a little more details here? And look, I want to make sure I make this point clear. I am not suggesting, and nor does the book suggest, that the customer is always right. But I am very much suggesting that the customer should always be heard. Because when you ignore customers, you do so at your own economic peril.
That is such a good quote. Oh my God, I'm going to write that down. I'm literally writing it down. Ignore customers. You do so. I've never done this on the podcast before. You do so at your own economic peril. God, dude.
I'm glad you're writing that down because I've never actually said that sentence before. So it must be a good one.
it's written down in some sort of weird chicken scratch I've got on a piece of paper that resembles.
Yeah, because how do you justify handwriting? Like how do you like? Okay, look, and I talk about this in great detail. There's a chapter of the book called Big Butts: The Five Reasons Why You Don't Hug Your Haters, and it's all the reasons, the obstacles that companies have that prevent them from answering every customer, like your scenario. Yeah. And some of it's resources, and some of it's speed, and some of it's culture, and you know, there's five reasons, right? But ultimately, what is really annoying and I think dangerous for businesses is to say, look, no company says we don't care about customers. No company says, yeah, we're terrible at customer service. One of my favorite stats, which is not from me, but it's from Forrester, but I talk about it in the book, and this I think really epitomizes the state of customer service today, is that 80% of companies say that they deliver superior customer service. 8% of their customers agree.
Oh, crap.
80 That's say they're superior huge. And 8 agree, right? I think we have a problem here. And if yes. I ask you right now, Chris, so obviously Philippine Airlines is not good, but if I ask you right now, who's really good at customer service or who's really good in particular at online or social media customer service, you could name companies, bam, bam, bam. Oh, yeah. Why? Why? Because they're so rare. You shouldn't be able to name anybody because everybody should be good at it. God, how do yeah. you go? How do you walk into a meeting and say, we're not going to answer all of our customers? We're going to ignore some customers. You would never let the phone ring. You would never just let the phone ring. But because it's on Twitter or Facebook or Yelp or something else, you're like, bah. Screw those guys.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
No, it is. You're absolutely ridiculous. And I mean, another story in the airline world, Cathay Pacific, the airline that I have flown with very, very loyally for the last 20 years almost, because I've been going to and from Asia even before I moved out to the Philippines for work and whatnot. And, you know, the main Cathay Pacific account follows me on Twitter. When they see me getting off planes, and this has happened on more than one occasion. Now, yes, I'm a Gold Card member and all that sort of stuff, but they know how to look after their loyal customers. When they see me getting off a plane and checking into a lounge in some airport somewhere, they tweet me. They begin the freaking conversation. They begin it. They're following me on Twitter. They begin the conversation, and you cannot. Hey, Chris, you know, make sure you check out the noodle bar next time you're in Hong Kong. It's new and refurbished. Yeah, that kind of stuff. I love that stuff. And what do I do when I get to Hong Kong airport? I go and get a bowl of noodles, don't I? It's simple as that.
See, customer service is the new marketing. Because, Chris, your competitors, whether it's a competitor for individual business or courses or somebody who's got a podcast like your podcast or a blog like your blog, it doesn't matter who your competitive set is, but your competitors can and will steal everything from you. They'll steal your products. They'll steal your website copy. They'll steal your best people. They'll mimic your pricing. They'll steal everything that's good about you. But the one thing they can never steal from you, Chris, the one thing that your competitors can never take from you is if you genuinely care more about your customers than they do. That is the only remaining competitive advantage. And that's why I wrote this book, because customer service is the new marketing. It is the thing that will set you apart from your competition if you take the time and devote the resources to actually hug your haters.
Agreed, 100%. Now, you talk about on social, and I want to get into this and the science behind this particularly, and any examples you can throw at me on this would be amazing. You talk about the rule of only two replies to complaints on social media.
Yeah.
Give us the background on that and tell us a little bit more about it.
So, okay, I imagine, just based on the people who listen to your show, that almost everybody listening has been in some sort of social media flame war at some point.
Flame war is the wording.
Right.
So good.
where you say something and somebody comes back and you just get into this whole tit for tat back and forth and it just gets ugly, right?
Yeah,
and you're like, wow, that got ugly in a hurry.
Real quick.
Real quick. And this has a combination of the research and my own experiences as a consultant and as a human being. Is where I came up with Jay Baer's rule of reply only twice. And that rule says that you should never, ever, 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 ever reply more than twice to the same person online in a single thread.
Okay. Why?
Because if somebody, because it's a waste of time.
Okay.
It is a waste of valuable resources. So if somebody is positive, and that happens, somebody says, Chris, I love you and I love your show. You answer back, thanks very much. I'm delighted to have you as a listener.
Right.
They come back and say, and I really love you, Chris. In fact, my favorite show was the one with Jay Baer, the fourth time he was on. You should answer back. I really appreciate that. Jay is, in fact, amazing. He'll be on for a fifth time any day now.
Anytime soon. Yeah.
If that person comes back again, then you know what? You probably don't need to answer that. You've acknowledged them. You've been down that road. You should move on.
Right.
To go in a third time is a waste of time.
Okay. So this is – so let me cut you off then. So this is not just – complaints, but this is also, you know,
absolutely positive.
Anything positive. Yes. Right. Okay.
It's good. Just a waste of time.
All right.
But where it happens more likely, right? The more likely scenario is in fact complaints.
Okay.
So somebody comes on your Facebook page and says, hey, I'm a business class flyer of Philippine Airlines and I'm in your lounge and there's no Wi-Fi and there's nothing to eat and something mysterious is dripping from the ceiling. What's up? Now what they should have done is said, we're terribly sorry. It's unusual for the Wi-Fi to be down, and you must have just caught us in between a shift change on the food. You know, we're really terribly sorry, and we'll make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Well, then you come back again and say, you know what? This isn't the first time this has happened. I'm really considering not flying Philippine Airlines ever again. What they should say is, Mr. Ducker, we really appreciate your loyalty. We would love to talk to you about this in greater depth. Could you please call us here or email me here or send us a DM here
right.
so that we can get into a little bit more detail?
Okay.
Then if you come back a third time and say, you know what? It's not even going to matter because you guys are the worst and I am done with you. They should not answer you a third time.
Okay.
Because they have, A, it's a waste of time to do so. B, it's really easy to get caught in the vortex of negativity
yes.
at that point
yes.
and end up saying something that you shouldn't say.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that online customer service is a spectator sport. Yes, Philippine Airlines should hug you. Yes, Philippine Airlines should try to make you happy. But ultimately, Chris, you're not the most important thing.
Right, right, right.
The most important thing is all the other people who are watching this interaction unfold. It's the spectators in the seats. It's the watchers on Facebook, the watchers on Twitter, the watchers on Google Plus or Instagram or Snapchat or anywhere else. The people who are looking on are the most important. And once you've said, we're sorry, and then a second time given somebody an option to take it deeper, and you've been calm and rational, walk away.
Mm.
Mm. Just walk away. Nothing good will come of you trying to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Just walk away. And that, my friend, is the rule of reply only twice.
I love that. And that is a Jay Baer original rule, is it?
It is. In fact, I had to invoke it yesterday. Somebody was beating me up on my own Facebook page. I took some balls. And I'm like, man, this is my Facebook page. Like, how are you complaining about me on my own Facebook page? Where do you have the nerve, the temerity?
Yes.
And so I swear to God, I sat. He said something, and I answered back, and he said something again, I answered back, and he said something a third time, and I said, I really want to type this right now, but yeah. I wrote a book that says that you should never do that, so yes. I'm not going to.
Good. At least you follow your own advice. Nothing worse than someone saying something and then not following their own advice. I completely agree with you.
Because, look, we take it personally. I mean, that's the thing about all this, right? It doesn't matter whether you're an individual or a business or a corporation. Look, you know, nobody likes to have something negative said about them. I mean, you're saying your baby's ugly, right? And so one of the things that I really like about the book is we've got several passages in there and interviews and stats about the physiology of complaint, of how your brain chemistry actually changes when you read negativity about yourself or your business, and how your blood pressure goes up and like you get all these kind of crazy, fight or flight responses. And that's why a lot of times you see people saying really bad things in response to negativity because they just kind of lose their mind a little bit. They kind of go on tilt. And so there's lots of advice in there about how to handle that and how to make sure that you don't take it too personally and then say something that is way over the line.
So let me ask you this, and how important is timing when getting back to people?
Because I mean, huge.
Okay. So do we want to go like right away, or do we want to sit and breathe a little bit, or, you know,
you want to go fast for sure
because okay.
speed is the most important factor in customer satisfaction in any line of complaint. So certainly in social media Our research says that about 40% of the people who complain in social media expect a response within an hour.
Most that businesses, fast? 40%?
Yeah.
Wow.
40% okay. expect an hour. The average right now is 5 hours.
Okay.
So we got a little problem there. The average email response time for businesses now, 44 hours.
Are you serious?
Almost 2 days. Which
that's
is
awful. That is awful. That's
it's
terrible.
Awful.
Yeah, that's no need
and
for that.
I think that happens. And as somebody who's in the customer service business at some point, here's why I think that's true. A year ago, it was 36 hours, and now it's 44. So 8 hours slower on average to get an email reply from a company. And I think why that is actually is that companies have started to take people off of email and put them on social.
Okay.
You just think about sort of the resource, yes. or the resource. Unseen, I think that's what's happening. I'm pretty sure.
Where really what they should be doing is staffing both departments properly instead. Right.
Of course you should. If you believe that customer service is the new marketing, if you believe that customer service actually makes you money instead of just being a necessary evil, you should, of course, staff it appropriately.
Yes.
And then the other thing is that, and you know this very well, Chris, is that speed of response is actually the number one criteria in telephone customer service satisfaction. Mm-hmm. In our research, it's more important than truthfulness. It's more important than friendliness. It's more important than accuracy. So you could lie to somebody fast or tell them the truth slow, yeah. and they would prefer to be lied to quickly if given the choice. Literally. That is not fictitious. That is true. Nobody wants to wait on hold. Nobody likes smooth jazz.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like a bit of jazz every now and then, but you're right. Yeah, nobody wants to be on the hold. So,
I mean, the call center business is keeping Kenny G in royalty payments.
It
I mean,
that's certainly is. There's absolutely no doubt about it. He should be thanking me and everybody else that owns call centers worldwide via Twitter. Otherwise, we're going to complain. I mean, out of all this other research that you did then, I mean, like you dropped some great value bombs on this. And I love that term, customer services and new marketing. I think that's great. But I mean, like, out of all the other research that you did, was there any other, you know, kind of big surprises to you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it wasn't a surprise once I really unpacked the research, but initially it really was. And it's that the impact on customers when you answer them is so much greater online than offline. Hmm. So much greater. Because if you call a company or you email a company and they get back to you, You expect that to happen.
Right.
Like you're not shocking or awing anyone. But if you complain on Facebook or Twitter or a review site or discussion board and you actually hear back, you're like, wow, I can't believe they actually heard this and responded because it is so rare. So the impact of hugging your haters online is way greater than the impact of hugging your haters offline. And that is a very important finding.
Mm. Good God, absolutely. No, I mean, for me, you know, it's funny. I had a conversation with a coaching client of mine a couple of years ago, I remember, and I asked him, you know, what are your focuses for this year going forward to help build your business? And he said to me, well, you know, first of all, we're doing all this marketing stuff and blah, 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 and we're looking for new clients. And then obviously we're taking care of our existing clients and making sure that they're okay. And, you know, we're going to be upselling them and blah, blah, blah. And then we're really kind of developing our team out a little bit and blah, blah. And I asked him to literally flip it on its butt. I said, no, you look after your team first because they are ultimately running a business for you. Secondly, you need to start taking care of your existing clients way better than you already are because they will be more than happy to tell all their friends about it. And lastly, you go after new business. Lastly, you go because it's way easier to close somebody over and over and over again and get them to come back and spend money over and over and over again when you're delivering a good customer experience, right? So what's the best ever customer experience you've personally had where you've just walked out of a store or got off a website and thought, wow, that was amazing?
Let me give you a little stat to back up your point real quick.
Okay, I love that.
Globally, okay, in the world, we spend $500 billion a year on marketing and $9 billion a year on customer service.
See, there's something now, terribly wrong there.
Despite the fact, okay, that you learn, and I'm not exaggerating, the first day that you're ever in a business – you learn, it is an axiom that everybody knows, that it makes way more sense, way more financial sense to keep the customers you already have than to continue to invest in marketing to try and replace customers that you've lost. Mm. Like, everybody knows that, or at least they should know that, but nobody behaves like that.
Yes.
Like, we all know it to be true, but yet we don't allocate resources accordingly. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really glad I was able to write this book, because I'm hoping that people wake up and say, well, wait a second. I mean, I'm a marketing guy historically, so I'm not going to, you know, say that marketing is a bad thing. But you may have heard the saying, Chris, that advertising is a tax on the unremarkable. I believe a better saying is advertising is the tax you pay when you don't care enough about customer service.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Because if you're really good at customer service, you should never have to spend a dollar on advertising. Because Agreed. Your customers will do it for you.
They'll do it
Look
for
at Zappos. Zappos doesn't advertise at all. Why? Because they don't have to.
Yes.
Because their customers tell all their friends, because not because they have the better shoes. They don't even have better pricing. They're right. not the cheapest, and they don't have the best selection. People tell their story because they're the best at customer service and customer experience.
Right.
It is, in fact, a differentiator. But people simply cannot figure it out, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah. Krispy Kreme, I believe, is a company that doesn't do any massive amounts of advertising as well. And I have
had... that's essentially legalized drugs. They don't have to advertise.
Yeah. But I've had more than one good experience at Krispy Kreme. And not just in one location, like around the world. Their staff are great. Starbucks is another great company. Their baristas are incredible. A month ago, I was in... I was having a coffee with my wife, and when asked what our names were, I said my name was Bruce, and I said my wife's name was Lee. And then I needed to put that on social media, that photo of the two cups with Bruce and Lee next to it. And as the barista, not the barista taking the order, she didn't figure it out, but the guy who was actually making the coffee looked at the two cups, and he looked up at me, and he smiled at me and went, "Enter the Dragon, man." And I was like, yes, he's got it. It was so good, you know? And then the exact same place, I went in maybe 2 weeks ago, and I ordered my usual coffee, and I turned around and said to him, "But do me a favor, today, make it with just a little bit more love. Just a little bit more love." And they wrote it on the thing. Grande Americano for Chris, one Splendor. P.S. Please make with a little more love. They actually wrote the whole thing on the cup. That's the kind of thing. And here we are talking about it to thousands of people listening in, right?
What's really, I should write a post about this someday. This is a post that's been rolling around in my head for like 3 years. I think I talked about this on a Jay Today episode, but I never wrote it down. Is that Starbucks in particular, I think, is really interesting, because when you go to a Starbucks location, you get that kind of experience, right? They've got employees who want to be there, their career Starbucks employees in many cases.
Yep.
They're allowed to work off script. They're not robots. They can kind of, you know, freelance and freestyle a little bit. But when you go to a Starbucks in an airport or a stadium where there's a master concessionaire who puts like regular people in a Starbucks uniform, so they're not Starbucks employees. They're employees of whatever corp that makes, you know, chicken sandwiches for the whole stadium. The experience is so different. So you're like, you go to a Starbucks at an airport, which is a Starbucks off airport, and it's literally night and day. And Agreed. It's a real, I always feel like it's such a damaging thing to their brand that so many people's first experience with Starbucks is in an airport where they get terrible service because they're not their employees. They're not in that same culture. I just think it's really dangerous to do that, but apparently it's not hurting them any.
No, it certainly isn't.
So, you asked me about my favorite.
Yes, let's wrap up on your favorite customer service experience.
I have tons and tons and tons, both good and bad. But I'll tell you my favorite positive story, because it's so simple. And I want to credit an airline, because we've beaten up on the airlines a little bit. And I've got great examples of airlines in the book, of good airlines. KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines out of Amsterdam, is perhaps the best company in the world at social media customer service. Got lots of stuff about them in the book. JetBlue here in the States, very, very good at social media customer service and customer service of all kinds. But personally, I'll tell you a story that's not in the book at all. And I've only maybe mentioned this one time in my life. I was on a trip a few months ago with my wife. She doesn't travel with me very often, but every once in a while. And we were on Delta, which I typically fly Delta. They have the most airline flight concentrations where I live. And we were going somewhere, and I check in, you know, early in business class or whatever, and she's with me. And so the gate agent scans my boarding pass. And so she can see on the little reader that I've got, you know, a bazillion points, right? So then she scans my wife's pass and can see that she has very few points.
Right.
And she says, ma'am, I just want to let you know on behalf of Delta that I thank you. I thank you for taking care of your family and spending time at home to allow your husband to spend as many miles as he does flying with us here at Delta. Thanks so much and have a great trip.
Wow. Wow.
And I was like, whoa.
Dude, I cannot. That's unbelievable. I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah, I seriously almost started crying going down the jetway. I was just like, that little tiny moment, right? Just that. And she was like, you know, overjoyed. And I was like, man, that is,
yeah,
that's class.
Yeah, and you were like, you just bought me another 5 years of 100,000 miles a year. Thank you.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, but literally, right? I mean, that little thing bought them 5 years. And, you know, how many dollars is that?
Yeah.
Versus Philippine Airlines not answering a simple comment on their Facebook page cost them how many of your dollars?
Or blatantly deleting it. That pissed me off even more.
that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it's the little things. And as I said, so many companies, 80% think they're good at customer service, but only 8% of their customers agree. And that's the one challenge I have with this book. Is writing a customer service book is tricky, Chris, because everybody thinks they're good at customer service until you read a book like Hug Your Haters and you realize that, you know what, you're not good at it at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, I can't wait to see how this kind of unravels over the next few months for you personally in terms of everything from your speaking gigs to, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. And for you guys tuning in, if you haven't heard me say it before, if you get the opportunity to go to an event where Jay is keynoting, you must go to that event and watch him on stage. He is, dude, honestly, you are one of the best keynote speakers I've seen in my life. And I've seen hundreds because I go to a lot of events. And you, every time you're on stage, and we're friends, but you still blow me away every time I see you speak. You're amazing, man.
Thank you. I've got a great story that I sometimes do in the Hug Your Haters keynote about me spending half of a World Series game in handcuffs. So if you ever have a chance to see the Hug Your Haters keynote, you can get the rest of that stuff.
Oh, God. He's gonna dangle the carrot and walk away. He's just going to walk away right there with that.
Hey, I've been there four times, right? I know how to do this.
You do. You do. I got to keep coming back. It's great. All right. So, Jay, thank you very much, man. It's been great to have you on again. All right. And for you guys tuning in, obviously, you're running businesses or you're building businesses, you're online, that's for damn sure. Obviously, you need to pick up a copy of Hug Your Haters. It's available now on Amazon and everywhere else, all good bookstores and all the rest of it. And show notes for this and everything else will be over at chrisducker.com, episode 154. That's chrisducker.com/episode154. And I'll be back at you again next week with another episode of Youpreneur FM. Until then, take good care and go hug some haters. Bye for now.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business,
as well as rub shoulders,
gain support,
have access to immediate feedback,
as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information
and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of
today. That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you
on the inside.